Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Four Persons Network. Join us at this hour of mercy for the Chaplet of Divine Mercy for the intentions of the holy souls in purgatory and to rid the world of the scourge of abortion. The intro is by Donna Corey Gibson, copied from the YouTube channel Super School.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O fount of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us.
From the heart of Jesus,
as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus,
as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you. Oh, blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus,
fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you,
Jesus,
I trust in you,
Jesus,
I trust in you,
Jesus,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Amen. And that comes from page 950 of the Diary of St. Faustina Kowalska. St. Faustina, pray for us. Pope St. John Paul II, pray for us. Jesus, we trust in you. Now, friends, The saint of the day is actually a beati of the day, and that's Blessed Alvarez of Cordova. Blessed Alvarez of Cordova, or Cordoba, lived from 1350 to 1430. He was born to a noble family in Zamora, Spain, and he joined the Dominican order and preached throughout Spain and served at the court of Queen Catherine. He went on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land and upon his return preached the Crusades against the Muslims. He founded the famous priory of Scala Coeli, Ladder of Heaven, at Cordova, a convent of strict observance, and it is said that angels helped provide its building materials. He erected pictures of the holy places in Jerusalem in its gardens, popularizing the custom of Stations of the Cross, which, of course, was started by the Blessed Virgin Mary. He lived a life of great austerity and begged for alms, even though he could easily obtain what he needed from the royal court. Numerous miracles are attributed to him. It is told that he once found a dying beggar, wrapped him in a blanket, and carried him back to the convent. Upon unwrapping the cloth, he found only a crucifix. Blessed Alvarez was dedicated to Christ's passion and helped spread devotion to the way of the cross throughout Western Europe. He also successfully led a resistance against the anti-pope and brought Spain under allegiance to the true pope in Rome. And that comes from morningoffering.com. And then what we learn in Catholic.org is that he was beatified September 22nd, 1741 at St. Peter's Basilica in the Papal States by Pope Benedict XIV. And Catholic.org says that he was born in either Lisbon, Portugal, or Cordova, Spain. He entered the Dominican convent at Cordova in 1368. And that's really all there is to know. His cult was confirmed in 1741, which just means that he was approved for veneration and prayer in 1741. And he died on the 19th day of February in the year 1430. Blessed Alvarez of Cordova, pray for us. And speaking of the 19th day of February, for those who have heard the evil rumor that it's my birthday, it's very true. It's very true. So anyway, we're going to go ahead and jump ahead to the daily update, and for that I'm going to bring our founder and director John Benko online.
How you doing, Rich? Happy birthday.
Thank you, John. Thank you. How are you today?
You're 29, right?
It's the 29th anniversary of my 29th birthday.
Okay. All right. We'll go with that.
We'll go with that. That works for me.
Yeah. I'm doing good. You know, we've got a lot of things in the works here. First of all, what a great Saturday for William Hemsworth. He had, on the Catholicism Rock Show, he had the original Catholic defender, Steve Ray, and then he followed that up on Burnt Toast and Coffee with Gary Macciuto. So that was quite a good 1-2 punch there. I spoke with Jerry Delp, and we are bringing him back probably sometime this week.
Yes.
If not this week, early next week. So You know, Terry's done a lot of good things, and he's involved with a lot of good things. I think the world of what, you know, he's been doing with prison ministry and Deacon Hayes and all those guys, and we definitely want to continue that. That's part of our Catholic vocation is social action.
Yes, it is.
We have agreed in principle to two debates with Protestant ministry out of Kentucky. And the first debate is, the subject and the date is set. It's going to be March 8th, that's Friday, at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And it's going to be on the doctrine of sola scriptura. Now, for those of you who didn't know, this will actually be my fifth debate on this subject online. And with a little bit of research, you can find some of the other ones. I want to talk briefly about the other four, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yes.
So the first three kind of went as prescribed, and anybody that listened to them, you know, agreed that our side won, you know, going away. So lo and behold, I'm getting ready to debate this person named Brenda Johnson, and she decided to look up my past three debates and listen to all three of them. Well, realizing that all of the arguments that she had intended to use were just completely dismantled, she decided to try a different tact. And she came at me with the James White sola scriptura argument. Now, are you familiar with that? With that little
I'm not.
Okay, well, are you familiar with the term cognitive dissonance?
That I'm familiar with. I was a psych major when I started college.
Yeah, okay. Well, for those in our listening audience who don't know, cognitive dissonance is the stress caused in the mind by attempting to hold two contradictory positions at the same time. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what James White's sola scriptura debate is about. He actually attempted to argue that sola scriptura and solo scriptura are two different things. Now,
is he smoking crack?
Yeah, that's what was my first reaction. First of all, if you go into the etymology of the words, they both mean the same thing. The etymology is, it's from the same root word. It means alone, by itself.
Yeah, I was about to look at you and go, what are you talking about, Willis?
Yeah, exactly. That's, well, I was taken aback by her opening statement because I was just shocked at how absurd it was that she would try this. She actually made this statement. This is a quote from the debate. She actually said, the Bible alone does not mean the Bible by itself. To which I responded, I need to pull up a chair and just watch you have the debate with yourself, Brenda. I mean, that's what you're doing here.
Yeah.
I said, of course the Bible alone means the Bible by itself. Anybody can look up the word alone in a dictionary and see what it means. I said, however, I said, I've heard a little bit of a different variation on this take, and that is that some people argue that they don't believe in sola scriptura, but they believe in something called prima scriptura. All right? And that is that the Bible is not the only authority, but it's the prime authority to which all other authorities must be subject.
Right.
Okay, that gets you to the same place, okay? It gets you to the same place that you're placing your own interpretation of Scripture ahead of every other authority. So the logical consequence when you, no matter how you call it, no matter how you color it, the logical consequence gets you to the same place. So anybody that wants me to, I can post a link to this debate because I completely dismantled her argumentation in this debate. And that's what we intend to do in this debate coming up here. Now, this guy seems like a nice guy. Name's Trey Goldsmith. Seems like a nice guy, sincere guy. You know, not all Christians who disagree with Catholic theology are bad people. Some of them are just misinformed and misguided. So I believe, Richard, and I don't know if you agree with me or not, but I believe that sola scriptura is the absolute foundation of all false religion, of all false Christian belief. That if
yes.
you go at sola scriptura, the rest of the house falls down with it. It is an absolutely necessary foundation for them to have as a starting point, but it's also an impossible doctrine to defend. Because you can't defend the idea that the testimony is more powerful than the witness. It's absurd.
Exactly.
So anyway, that's March 8th, and I hope everybody will tune in. It's going to be on our video live stream. We've got a moderator for it, and I hope the audience will tune in. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. We also have a couple of other things in the works. We're going to be starting a presentation on the Book of Revelation. I hope to kick that off either this week or the beginning of next week. And of course, we're still going with Ken's shows and William's shows. And as I said, we're going to be bringing Terry back. So a lot going on.
Well, it means I need to reach out to Terry and see what his topic's going to be for this week or next week. Or maybe I'll just let everybody be surprised knowing that he's coming back either this week or next week.
Yeah, I think you'll probably reach out to Deacon Dennis and get that started back up again. But, just a lot of good stuff. A lot of good stuff going on, and also going to be diving deeper and deeper into my preparations for this trip. That is just going to be something that's I'm going to share with everybody. It's going to, as much as possible, I'm going to try and make that an experience for all of us, not just for myself.
Okay. Now, Friday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern, Ken is going to be talking. He's doing an interview with Jacob Woods.
Okay.
That should be a lot of fun.
Did he announce what the subject is?
I can ask him.
Yeah, I'm just curious. Yeah, that sounds like fun. I'll definitely tune into that.
Okay, I will ask him that.
Yep. And then, of course, we've got Lisa's show is going to be coming up very soon, in
March
a couple
2nd.
Of weeks.
March 2nd.
Yep.
And she's going to have Andrew Dean on for an interview.
Yeah, that sounds like that's going to be a fun show.
And let's see, as of yesterday, William was not 100% sure what his shows are going to be, what the topics for his shows for Saturday are going to be yet. as soon as I know, I will let everybody else know.
Yep. Also, I wanted to mention that we had our latest show was at number 11, and that broke a streak of 8 consecutive weeks. 8 consecutive weeks of us having a show in the top 10. For an apostolate that's not even a year old. And that was our 13th. The last one was our 13th top 10 show. And we had a streak of 8 consecutive weeks in the top 10, you know, to kind of end the old year and start the new year. So just real good things happening, and we're real happy about that.
That's a good thing. Now, I want to do a quick Lenten reflection, and it comes from Bishop Barron. And I I'm not using his words word for word, but I want to encourage everybody to have specific and set prayer times, whether you use the Liturgy of the Hours or some other structured way of praying throughout the day. It harkens back to the Jewish custom of praying at fixed hours, and that's a practice that the early Christians continued. And it also ensures that you're going to pray because you're in the habit of praying. And being in the habit of praying means you're going to pray. Now, I highly recommend the Liturgy of the Hours because there's 6 different times a day to pray, although only priests and religious are obligated for the 5 or 6 times a day. So if you're going to start the Liturgy of the Hours, I recommend you start with 3, morning, noon, and night. And then maybe add later on, but pray at specific times and get in the habit of praying at specific times. And that's our Lenten reflection for today.
Can I add just one thing to that, Richard?
Sure.
I love to start my day with morningoffering.com and do the morning offering. I mean, that's you know, a formula that works for me. However you do it, it's a good idea to start your day with a morning offering and end your day with an act of contrition. And then, you know, fill in the middle of it as you can, as you're able to. But start your day by giving it to God and end your day by giving it to God, because we all know that the devil's going to be full on attack all day long.
He is. He always is, and he's going to be every day. He thinks maybe he can do something and get us away from God.
You know, there's all kind of tools the devil has in his tool bag. Okay, if the devil can't outright tempt you into mortal sin, then what he'll do is he'll tempt you into anxiousness. He'll tempt you into feeling hurried and feeling rushed and feeling overwhelmed and frustrated, and you'll beat your defenses down that way. He's gonna hit you wherever he thinks you're vulnerable, and that's why a morning offering is always a good idea. And then the other thing is, if you do fall, get right back up. Don't lie. Oh, I got to get strong before I can go to confession. You don't get strong to go to confession. You go to confession to get strong. We can't do it without grace. As Bishop Sheen once said, to To sin, to fall into sin is human, but to persist in sin is diabolical. So,
yes.
Get back up. You know, that's all I can say. Just get back up as quickly as you can. Get to confession. Dust yourself off. And come out swinging again.
Yep, get back up on that horse.
Yep.
You do that, you got a really good chance of making it.
Yeah, Jesus is going to grant that final perseverance to the person who's sincerely trying. If you're sincerely trying, Paul promised us in the Bible, Jesus will complete the work he has begun in you. But if you're just kind of mailing it in, well, you might get a different result. But if you're sincerely trying, it doesn't mean you're not going to ever mess up. I mess up constantly. Trust me when I say that.
I mess up constantly.
Yeah.
All right, friends, our time is up, so I want you all to have a blessed rest of your Monday and a blessed Tuesday until I see you at 3:30 Eastern tomorrow. And until then, my name is Richard Pettis, and it'll be my name afterwards, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.